All right, welcome into another edition of the Flagrant 2 podcast with Reed Forgrave, that is you, with me, Bill Ryder, and with producer Joey. We got a great podcast for you. Producer Joey, Reed, I never knew that Joey could go as diva as you so quickly. We had to have him go and interview D'Angelo Russell.
Look at that beard, man. There's some big time diva in the fluffy Joey beard.
There really is, and it went. You know, Joey's never interviewed anyone before. He was super nervous. It was like, you know, talking to some middle school kid before his first dance about like, where do you put your hands and which way do you step? It was really ridiculous, and it went really well, as you can tell from this sort of preview of what's to come.
Is that a question?
Yeah, it is a question. Well, actually, and this too also underscores how well it went.
Yeah, keep trying.
Keep trying. And that's thanks to our friends at TISO Watches. Very, very, very good of them. The interview's really good. D'Angelo actually was really cool. Joey was pretty bad at it, but that's okay. No, he was good actually. So we'll do that interview.
We just got to teach Joey to have his voice go up at the end of the sentence. I think that his voice didn't go up. So, you know, it was a question.
You know, his voice cracked one time. I heard it.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It did. That's called puberty, young man. There's a lot of adventures to come. No, Joe, you did a great job. That's hard when you've never done that. So that is coming up later in the show. Reed was able to catch up with Jaylen Brown with the Celtics. So we have a couple comments from him, a couple quick dribbles here on the Flagrant 2 from Jaylen Brown. But we're going to start with buying or selling, Reed Forgrave. Are you ready for this?
I'm always selling, bro. You know me.
So you've already answered all the questions?
I'm going to answer next segment.
Your marriage.
Uh-oh. Sorry, wifey. I have to be a man of my word.
It's over. I went out with a buddy yesterday. This is apropos of nothing. We're all older. We're married, right? We have kids. He doesn't have kids. I won't name him, Reed, but you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting divorced, and it's a bummer. And I'm like, man, I'm really sorry. And he was like, kind of down. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, I guess I'll just spend some time with my girlfriend. I'm like, your girlfriend? How long have you been single? He's like, oh, a couple weeks. I'm like, how do you have a girlfriend? The apps, apparently. You young kids know what I'm talking about.
I don't even understand it. Kids these days, man. Joey, teach us the ways or let us live vicariously.
Yeah, Joey's on Unhinged or Hinged or
something like that. Yep.
Grindr. I don't know. I don't know what it
is. Oh, nope. Not on that one. No problem with Grindr, but not on it.
Is there actually an app called Grindr?
Yeah, and now you're now acting like you don't know.
Yes, it is.
No, it really is.
All right, so buying or selling marriages. Let's move on. Buying or selling. The Clippers are 4-0 without Chris Paul. They had a pretty thrilling win last night in which Blake Griffin was absolutely balling. What are you guys against the Blazers? Are you guys buying or selling the Clippers 4-0 for a grave?
I think I'm buying, and maybe I'm crazy. Obviously, small sample size. Is this team better without Chris Paul? Maybe that is nuts, but Blake looks absolutely awesome. It looks like this has really freed his game up.
I am always happy to take shots at Chris Paul. In fact, I always talk about this like people know because I talk about on the radio show a lot, and I talked about it on the radio show in LA a lot. So I'm sure Chris Paul is a big fan. I'm not going to do the whole story now. We should actually do an episode. Producer Joey, you're good at organization. You're good at keeping things straight. Why don't we let's do a behind the scenes podcast in a few days where we can talk about just some behind the scene moments with sports figures. Like I've got a Chris Paul story. I've got obviously LeBron James story. I think that'd be a fun, just random one off podcast one day. You guys want to do that?
Sure. 100%.
Chris Paul story is crazy. And when I quote him yelling at me, Joey, you're going to have to get your bleep button ready. All right, so
Chris Paul loves you, man. Chris Paul is a big Bill Ryder fan, clearly.
I'm actually selling on the Clippers, even though I could certainly be inclined to be talked into the Clippers. I don't know about addition by subtraction, but I think Chris Paul's greatness as a leader is wildly overstated. That is a fact we've obviously talked about. But look at the wins that they've had, Reed. They've beaten, what, the Lakers?
That's a big win.
They've beaten the Suns. They've beaten the Jazz a couple times. I like Portland as a team. Obviously, that's a good basketball team. Here's sort of my out of left field stat. I'm a bad sports bettor gambler, but I think Vegas is a place it's worth sort of taking a look at because they look at. And I'm not criticizing our colleagues, but I think one weakness of sports writing, Reed, something you and I have discussed, is that in any world, no matter how smart, when people get myopic, when there's a herd mentality, when everybody eats the same food, sees the same game from the same angle. They all eat lunch together. Everybody sees things the same way, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like to sort of find different ways to look at sort of – to pick something up like the NBA and sort of see it from another angle. And I think Vegas is a good way to do that. Bovada, I think a day ago or 2 days ago, dropped the odds of the first NBA head coach to be fired, right? Alvin Gentry is the most likely. Kind of makes sense. Hornacek in the Knicks kind of makes sense. Number three, Doc Rivers at 5-1. And I think it's because as good as Chris Paul is, and he, I think he absolutely is, without Chris Paul, as good as Blake Griffin has been in terms of like working on his jump shot, and you saw he hit a couple fadeaways yesterday. He hit a step back three to win. I mean, he's not a ball handler by any stretch of the imagination, but his skill set, I think, is vastly better and more dynamic than it was when Chris Paul first arrived. That I'm buying them as an interesting basketball team, but better without Chris Paul, no. I still don't think they're particularly good. And I think that Vegas perspective on Doc Rivers is there for a reason. I'm selling, even though I'm not a big Chris Paul fan.
Interesting is certainly correct. I just think they have so much more depth. Like, that's the one
thing they do.
Chris Paul trade gave them so much depth and they didn't have last year.
Can I add this? Can I say this? If Vegas is odds, like if Doc Rivers got fired in 3 days or Doc Rivers decided that he wanted, you know, had a change of heart. What did, who's the actor from There Will Be Blood when he's like, I am now going to make violins.
And I thought you were going to go to the, I'm going to drink your milkshake quote, but it was Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah.
In real life, he's like, I don't know if it was violins. I'm going to make, be a shoe cobbler.
And he was a shoe cobbler. That's it.
Was
that's
a shoe cobbler?
Yeah. It's so weird.
Kind of like the Grindr app. I just like stab in the dark. You know, there's actual I didn't know.
Fire.
What was I saying?
Wait, I think Daniel Day-Lewis is a cobbler.
If Doc Rivers decided to go be a shoe cobbler and they got the right coach, I would be. I don't think Doc Rivers is that good of a head coach. And if you talk to GMs around the league who trust you and are confident they can say it in silence, a lot of GMs will try to tell you that Doc Rivers is – there's some jealousy there, but is vastly overrated. And I'm not going to pretend to be the guy – I don't get paid to know basketball. I get paid to, like, talk to the people who know it inside out, right? Like, you and I are reporters, Reed. We're not the guys that pretend that we're GMs. So in talking to people who actually get paid to do basketball for a living, there's a sense that Doc's not great. So that combination, despite the – yeah, I'm with you. I just think let's give it a little time. I just
don't think Doc Rivers is a great cobbler. That's the problem. And cobbling doesn't pay $10 million a year. He ain't walking away.
He's gobbling.
He ain't going to cobble, bro. He ain't going to cobble.
Joey, Diva Joey, we're going to get into your diva nature because you interviewed somebody. So we got to keep you – we got to tamp down your ego here. Just buy or sell. That's all I need is a buy or sell.
Sell.
Wow, look how long he took. You guys can't see his face, but the contempt is crazy.
I'm an interviewer.
I'm John, producer Joey. All right. Buy or – I just sort of gave this away. The New York Knicks head coach won't make it to All-Star weekend or possibly to next weekend. Buy or sell, Reed?
I'm buying this. Two very, very different All-Star weekend or next weekend. I think he makes next weekend, but not All-Star weekend.
Calmer than you are.
Calmer than I am. It's in my Twitter avatar. You can't see my Twitter avatar.
That's a great question, producer Joey. Why don't you should work on producing and not being such a diva in the D'Angelo? No, I'm just kidding. Which one is it? Is it next weekend and the All-Star weekend?
Let's go All-Star weekend. Next weekend feels so Earl Watson-y.
I had All-Star weekend originally, but then I was like, they're playing so bad and their guys are just coming out and saying such crazy stuff. Like, their players are saying such crazy stuff in the media. I was like, right, maybe it'll be next weekend.
I'm gonna do a Carmelo Anthony. I'm gonna go off script and I'm gonna take the ball away and I'm gonna do this. Thanksgiving, and I'm buying. He's gone by Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey at home with your family because you have nowhere else to go. Reed,
poor Jeff Hornacek.
Knicks are bad.
They're bad. Like, that's very little to do with the coaching. The Knicks are a dysfunctional organization, so the idea of firing their coach slightly after the Suns, but before the rest of the league, sure. I'll buy on that.
And by the way, it's also a reminder, like, know your lane, know what you are. Was it 5 years ago when Phoenix was really young and played really fast, and Hornacek was – they missed the 8 seed. I'm trying to do this off memory by, like, a little bit. And wasn't he a top three finisher and coach of the year?
When he was with the Suns?
12 or 13, 2000.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs by a game that year.
By a game, yeah. I was at that, yeah. And I think I voted for him for top three for coaches. Anyway, my point is, like, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he's in a he's a bad coach for where he is. Buying or selling Reed Forgave? And by the way, this is like a little appetizer because starting next Friday, we're going to have a new segment called the Reed Forgave Friday Rookie 5 Rankings. Is that what we're going to call it?
I mean, I think we'll make it flow a little better. But
no, that was flow. I'm a writer. You're not.
The Forgave 5, perhaps? You're the Forgave 5?
Call me
double F. Going for the double F.
What do you want? You want the Forgave 5?
The Forgave 5. Forgave Rookie 5. There we go. Is that what you said? I don't know.
Yeah, initially, I think it was. I don't know.
Whatever.
Here's a little buying or selling. That segment will be good. Selling. No, it'll be great. buying or selling the battle. Whoa, that was a bit. That was a. Was that you? Was that my text messages?
Wasn't me.
That was Joey texting me. Can I start throwing? I don't know what you're asking. What are you asking, Joey? Just ask. Just asking the podcast, bro.
Is that a question?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I'm good at technology as I turn my sound off. Good job, me.
Yeah, keep trying.
What was that?
Yeah, keep trying.
Thank you, D'Angelo. Battle for Rookie of the Year will be closer than we thought. Reed Forgave. Let me throw some stats at you. Ben Simmons, 16.5, 10, and 7.5. Lonzo Ball, 11.5, 9, and 9. Jason Tatum, 14.2, and 6. He's shooting 43% on threes. The list goes on and on. By the way, I should add, Markelle Fultz averaging 0.2 points a game and shooting minus 13% from the field. Injury. That's mean. What? I think it will be, right?
Yeah. That's the thing about this draft, man, is there was never one standout player in this draft. As much as everyone was, you know, we talk about the groupthink mentality among sports writers. There was so much groupthink about Markelle Fultz going into this draft. And because I don't groupthink, I put Jason Tatum as my number one pick. I
you
love don't
groupthink. You just think about the group.
I think about the group and what they're group thinking about.
Fake okay. Wisdom, or you just reverse the terms?
Yes.
I'm not wise on the terms. I've called the terms of the wisdom.
I'm trying to spit some wisdom about this.
Trying to throw you off.
Shut up, man! I'm trying to talk about the rookies, bro. what's about this class? What isn't there that one? I don't know, man. I just drove 5 hours through the snow. Snowing.
Oh, see? The demonager comes out, man. I had over under 5 minutes. You were going to drop that on the under. How long are we in this podcast?
Like solid 12 minutes in, man.
Oh, shit, I lost. All right, go ahead.
Yep. You owe me. Poor Joey and all the swear words. Anyway, this draft isn't about one amazing. This isn't the Karl Anthony Towns draft. This is a draft of enormous depth. And I think, look, I love Jason Tatum. I love Lonzo Ball.
Do you love Tatum?
I love everybody. But what I'm trying to say is I have a lot of love, and I'm trying to give it. So many people crapped on picks like the Bulls taking Lowry Markkanen. Markkanen looks great. De'Aaron
Fox. My brother was killing you, by the way.
Your brother was killing me?
And me. He's like, why didn't Reed tell you to tell me to draft him? Because we have a shared fantasy thing in this league of leagues with Jonah Carey. And I just totally abdicated. I'm like, that was Reed's fault. Even though I never asked you.
That was Forgave. Maybe you should read my articles more often, Bobby Brown Eyes.
Wait, you write for a living?
That's Bill's brother's nickname. we'll tell you Bill's nickname at some other point. Anyway, I think this is a great draft. I think it's going to be a really close. I don't think there's going to be one standout. There's not going to be Karl Anthony Towns. But I think this is going to be a really, really deep rookie class. And frankly, when I was spent a lot of time on my 5-hour drive in the snow, thinking about the upcoming rookie class. I think next year's class is going to be not as deep as this class, but it's going to be just absolutely awesome at the top.
All right, I'm buying as well. I think it's going to be a great, great rookie of the year race. Producer Joey, buy or sell?
Buy. There's a ton of guys
good
out
answer.
There.
No, you're good. You're good. Cut them off. He's a maniac.
Cut them down to size, Ryder.
All right, I got a better answer.
Is that a question?
I'm reading the next one here. Buy or sell? Reed will be a man-child diva baby the whole year about the weather.
I mean, I'm buying. Kind. I live in Minnesota. Of course I'm buying. Come on.
You moved yourself to Minneapolis. Top five city in America. How did it feel like a top five city in America today, bro?
I told you. It's top 10 summer cities. Summer only lasts like 3 weeks. I get to pick which weeks they are. There you go. It's not top five when it's snowing and freaking October, man.
What are you like, Mr. – you're the weatherman over here? you get to pick the weeks. I'm in a mood, aren't I?
You are in a mood. You're up.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. I love you too. That's got real weird. Buying or selling? Giannis will win the Most Valuable Player award and the Most Improved Player and average 30 points per game and isn't human. He's actually a cyborg from the future who will be the best player in the NBA by the end of the season. Who wrote this? Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was the 27-year anniversary or something of Terminator yesterday.
I think Joey wrote this. Can you win most improved player 2 years in a row? Because that would be impressive, right?
Yeah, I think you can if the people feel like
I mean, if you improve over it again.
I mean, Reed, I don't want to like get too technical with my mastery of the human language, but
okay, it's the double improvement.
Improved, I think, doesn't say most improved, but not if you improved the year before that. What are you talking about?
I'm going to buy just on principle that he's going to win MVP and average 30. And actually, no, I take it back. I'm looking at all the things in here. He's not going to win most improved player. I don't think he'll ever.
You did talk to him?
He is human. He is in fact human. Yeah, I told him that I wanted to write about him for GQ, and he started making all these weird
another
poses.
GQ drop another GQ.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, keep
trying. Not New York Times Magazine. I'm not gonna write him for there.
Hey, just hold on real quick, Reed. D'Angelo, what do you think about Reed's selfless, ridiculous self promotion?
Yeah, keep trying.
I will keep trying. I will keep
No, I'm just messing with you.
I don't think he's going to be the best player in the NBA by the end of the season. This is still LeBron's league. I think he proved that.
I don't think he's going to average 30 points a game this year either.
I think he could.
I think he could too. I think he's going to.
He had a bad game last night. He had a subpar game last night. He scored 28 points.
Cool. Is that – I'm not
less than 30s.
Okay. I was trying to get the over –
What exactly is your point
it
here,
It is
dude?
A really hard thing. Joey, do you even know this off the top of your head? How many guys have averaged 30 points or more per game over the last 10 years?
Or last
What's
10?
What's your guess? Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess 11 guys total.
If that.
Yeah, I think I was going to say 7.
Probably, it might be less than that, I think. 30 games.
Yeah, I just
– 30 games a lot.
That's – I mean, it's a really hard thing to do. And I think in part because Giannis cares about winning more than he cares about his numbers, because he impacts the game in every facet. And because in order for that team to make a – forget most improved player, for that to be the most improved basketball team in the NBA, which I think he really cares about. And Reed, you met with him yesterday. I did a long sit down with him when you and I were doing TV at FS1 and him and Jason Kidd a few years ago. Super impressed by him. And one of the – you know, and we'll get to this with D'Angelo Russell in a second, the interview that Diva producer Joey did. But you know, like how you can always tell off camera what's not always there on camera.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is the source of my great Chris Paul story we'll tell later. I really believe earnestly that he gives an absolute, you like that, Joey, about winning. That was a swear word, but I marked it down. I do. And so I think like he'll impact the game in other ways. I don't think he'll be inclined like some guys in the league to look up the scoreboard, right? When it's a 2-point game and be like, oh, I have 25. Right? I think it'll just be like if he gets buckets, he gets buckets. If he facilitates, he facilitates. But I do think he can be the MVP this year. I think that's trending toward a likelihood. He's the favorite in Vegas. I think the fact that Boston is obviously trending downward just because of the Hayward injury gives the – we talked about this the other day – gives the – I mean, you and I both love Giannis. So, it's not a selling on Giannis. It's just I'm not sure I'm buying on Joey's like very, very specific sort of – statement here.
I think the most interesting one is, will he be the best player in the NBA by the end of the season? Because I think there is a chance. Now. I think there's a chance, but
I agree.
A year from now, 2 years from now,
6 months to 22 months is what I said at the start of the season, and he will be the best player in the league.
Yep.
According to my very quick basketball reference search, it's been done 6 times in the last 10 years.
God, so I should have gone 7. I should have the guts to stand by it. Speaking of the Celtics, Reed, I just hiccuped. I don't know why. The Celtics can be a top half of the East team without Gordon Hayward. Buying or selling?
I'm buying on that, man. And a little bit of recency bias, but I thought just fantastic. I mean, Kyrie's Kyrie. Horford's Horford. But what I'm most impressed by is the guys who've kind of stepped up in Hayward's absence. Jason Tatum, he's 19 years old, but I was asking – Brad Stevens about him yesterday, and he's like, the guy just has so much maturity. And
Maturity.
Betrayal.
That's the Mike D'Antoni interview?
Yeah. That's my favorite. Yeah, we should get a clip of that. My favorite Reddit interview of all time. We're just belittling the guy almost.
I didn't belittle him.
You didn't belittle him, but it was just betrayal.
Should we put that?
Betrayal.
We should put that. I want to do this evergreen. I want to do this podcast where we tell like funny. By the way, it doesn't just have to be NBA. I got a great story about being humiliated for 5 hours by a major league manager. That was fun.
What was that, Buddy Bell?
Right? Yeah. Who I was friends with. Like I was like actually close to. That was hard. Yeah, that was a tough one.
My childhood hero, Bo Jackson, humiliated me in front of like 20 people. That sucked. I forgot about that. That was terrible. I'd been a sports writer for all of like a week. I'm like,
Mr. Jackson.
Bo knows how to fuck your mind up, bro.
I really was impressed by the Celtics last night and throughout the season. I have this probably completely flawed theory, but I think there's something to it that
I was with
this Hayward injury for next year might end up being the best thing that could happen to these Celtics, because you're going to see the young guys get way more playing time and way more responsibility than the shoulders. I think they will be.
I agree. Do they definitely want the injury to happen? That's a good theory. All right, so this is a tough one for me. I think it's absolutely possible. I think Brad Stevens, I've said this to you and I've said it on the podcast, is the second best coach in the NBA after Mean Santa Claus down in San Antonio. I think that I think that Tatum and Brown are obviously like stepping up in big ways and give Ainge credit. You drafted the right guy. We can still hear your cough, bro. You okay?
Sorry.
Mix in a lozenge, bro.
A little.
Mix in a lozenge, bro.
Yeah, I was trying to get my mic out.
Wait, like, can I pull my Reed Forgrave? Okay, I'm trying to spend some wisdom.
Die in here, man.
Yeah, keep trying.
So look, the Cavs are going to be the Cavs, right? They're a top four team. I don't care where they finish in the standings; they'll finish in the top four. We've already discussed the Bucks. I think they're going to be there. The way John Wall and Bradley Beal are playing, despite that loss to the Lakers, like it's hard for me to put at this point that team over the Wizards. I'm not a big believer in the Raptors. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just not. Although I think they'll win. I think they'll win regular season games. And so it's a really close call. I may err on the side of rookies hit walls, and there's two of them that are critical to their success. And I have not seen Kyrie yet have massive success without LeBron James. And even if he can and he will, I think that's a process. So I'm selling ever so slightly with an asterisk that when it happens, I was like, I knew it was going to be close.
I predict this, but I know I'm going to be wrong. Joey, buy
or sell?
I'd sell.
You got to slow down with all the words, bro. You got to stop hogging the microphone.
Keep trying, Joey. Stuff. Keep trying, man.
All right. So Reed, you actually, speaking of the Celtics, you had the opportunity to visit Reed Forgave with Jaylen Brown, who is in his second year, also a number three overall. Oh, did I just say he's a rookie? Yeah, he's not a rookie.
Listen. You guys are, is anybody else?
No, I mean, but like, he's not a rookie. But he was drafted number three overall, and if you do the math, that's two more than one. I just dazzled with my math. I just did it. Reed, you had a chance to visit with Jaylen Brown, who sounded like he wanted to be anywhere on earth other than and you visited. Am I allowed to say that?
No. True. He's very interested in tying his shoes. Very interested.
He's like, I thought it was my turn to shine. Where's the D'Angelo Russell interview? It's coming, Joey. Calm down. Here was Reed having. Reed, here was your question and answer with Jaylen on this team.
What is it about this system that is such a great fit for you?
I think. Brad Stevens is a good coach, man. I think the players I have around me that can really score the ball, open things up. You know, Kyrie, Al, the tension they get, the tension that they get helps me out, helps Jason out, helps everybody else out. So just help, allows me to be who I am.
I'm changing my answer. I'm buying on Celtics top four. That's a level of charisma I've never heard before. You really connected with him as an interviewer. That's so hard to read those guys that shoot around, dude, when they don't want to be there.
Like Malik Monk wanted to be there because he's Jaylen Brown did not.
But like Grace didn't make the time, and we appreciate it from the Celtics. Horford's so underrated. So now I've given two cuts where I said they are gonna do it, they're not gonna do it, and I'm gonna have Joey cut whichever one makes me sound right in like 7 months. It'd be awesome. You also had a conversation with him, and I thought it was by the way, you asked some really good questions, and I don't know that he loved it. But this is, you had a really interesting sort of Q&A with him in your conversation with Jaylen Brown, Reed Forgrave, on his three-point shooting.
Tell me, when you were in college, you shot 29% from three. That was sort of a knock on you going into the draft. You're shooting 36, 37 right now, 5 or 6 attempts a game. Was that an overblown concern, or have you just made like a concerted effort in that part of your game?
I made a concerted effort, but I think the system that the NBA has and the system with Brad Stevens is a lot different. You know, I get a lot more open looks in college. You know, they kind of packed the paint. It was different. We struggled offensively a lot in college, you know, so it was tougher. And I still think I shot the ball pretty well. I just didn't shoot it a lot in college, but I gotten better for sure, and I'm going to continue to get better.
You know what? Everyone has to work on things, Reed. You know what I think you probably should work on? Your Wi-Fi connection. So when we do this podcast, you stop freezing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Joey?
Does the audio freeze? As long as the audio doesn't freeze, I don't care. I have two computers off. I'll turn my other computer off. Come on, man.
Hey, D'Angelo, how do you think Reed's doing on the podcast today?
Yeah, keep trying.
You look so mad. People can't see you. They can only hear you.
I know. I'll just be quiet. I'll just look mad.
Really good question to him. Reed, you are a draft expert. And I'm not just saying this like you, because you do hoops, not just NBA. You do college too. You do a lot of draft stuff. And you have told me many things in the past that I, as people who are frequent listeners, all nine of them would know. I like to make fun of you. And I did that on national radio on several things. And you've proven to be right on most of those that relating to basketball and almost none relating to life. What do you think it is from Jaylen Brown? Was he a better shooter than the numbers suggested in college, or do you think he's improved that shot?
I think exactly what he said is that he was in a bad system in college, which, by the way, his college coach was Konzo Martin. Konzo Martin is now our college coach as graduates of the University of Missouri and also has some pretty phenomenal talent this year. But I think it's a matter of the dude is an enormous talent, was in a rough situation his 1 year in college. Brad Stevens, the ball movement is phenomenal. The space that he has, that Jaylen Brown has to operate in, is just much more than when he spent that 1 year at Cal. So I got to be honest, like going into that draft, I was not buying on Jaylen Brown. I thought their pick was a reach for him, picking him at three, but I was wrong. The dude looks awesome. I don't think he's a star in this league, but I think he's a sort of a super role player. Guy who can defend all five positions, who can shoot the ball, who's really dynamic athlete. I've been really impressed by his game. He's made quite a leap so far this year. Should I keep talking?
See what he did. I've been, and I shouldn't be, but I have been pleasantly surprised by Jaylen Brown's leap since the Hayward injury. I have not been surprised by the Tatum injury because you could sort of see in preseason his athleticism and how naturally the game. Like how these young guys, sometimes it looks like they're overwhelmed by the game. Like I think Tatum from day one looked like he belonged on an NBA floor. It was interesting, right? I was like, oh, maybe Danny Ainge got it right.
He is the most refined, one of the most refined offensive games I've seen from a 19-year-old ever.
He's impacted the game in a lot of ways, man. Like, you know, I've watched a lot of Celtics games because I think they're interesting, even without Hayward, whether it's block shots, whether it's steals, whether it's putting energy on defense, like whether it's offensively, he is impacting games pretty early for a rookie. I think it's pretty impressive. He's going to be really good.
I expected him to be not a disaster defensively, but certainly not good. And he is way exceeded. Like he was not great on defense at Duke, but he was, you could tell like the scoring, you're like, oh yeah, this dude's a natural scorer.
You know what I think?
Defensively, he looks like he belongs. It's Brad Stevens, right?
It is Brad. Yeah. I think it's totally Brad Stevens. Like, I think he's going to get the credit, but I think, it's going to sound like a shot at Eric Spoelstra, and I don't want it to be because I think Eric's one of the best coaches in the game. Stevens is like an Eric Spoelstra, how Spoelstra like reaches guys philosophically and connects them, and they play defense for him. Stevens does that, but I think maybe like also offense. Like I think Brad Stevens. Yeah, that sounds like a shot. I'm sorry, Spo. I love you. I think Stevens is a genius. We throw that word around way too much. I think he's a genius. I think he's a basketball savant.
Yep, 100%.
And I told you the story that a head coach that I know pretty well called who's like a good guy called me, or I guess what's the heck, like called me and told me when Brad Stevens got hired, like my phone rang, like, why is this guy calling me? And he just wanted to tell me, like, when I was writing about the NBA all the time, like, dude, go easy on Brad, blah, blah, blah. He's a good guy. I'm like, do you think he'll succeed? When he got plucked out of Butler, you were in his office 3 hours before I got the call. And he walked me through why he wouldn't succeed and all the reasons that coaches like usually can't make the jump. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And that guy wasn't being a hater. He just thought he was just walking through the difficult the sort of learning curve that most guys can't handle. And the fact that Stephen handled it and handled it so effectively, I think it speaks to his brilliance. Danny Ainge, man, got some guts. Yeah. All right, we're going to get in just a moment. Man, Joey Levin was so nervous about this, producer Joey, about this D'Angelo interview. And afterwards, it went really well. And afterwards, Joey was very like, I did bad. He was mean to me. It's true. You did, Joey. I feel like he's a meanie.
Joey called me crying this morning, just absolutely bawling.
I didn't sleep last night, guys.
Your producer diva. The interview was really interesting, but I was laughing. I was laughing. I called Reed. I talked about the podcast, and I'm like, maybe I was talking to my wife, because it's very similar. You know, my wife and Reed, right? Real quick. Whoever it was, what was that?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, D'Angelo Russell. Maybe it's just me coughing. You can make fun of me for coughing because I just went.
Yeah, keep trying.
Into the microphone. Keep trying. You gotta do it louder, Joey.
That's as loud as it goes.
Push it again. We're waiting.
Yeah, keep trying.
Okay, there. What I was gonna say was D'Angelo Russell's a tough first interview, like a really tough guy, because he cannot want you around. So he was good. I thought it's a really interesting interview. It happened yesterday. We're gonna play it for you here in a second. But remember first that buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. The SeatGeek seamless mobile experience, which I have, and so does Reed. We have the app. You can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and best of all, it's fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. Reed has the SeatGeek app on his phone. It is by far the easiest way we found to shop for tickets. We can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, instantly find seats. In fact, Reed got his seats to Arcade Fire coming up this weekend in top three city in America, Minneapolis, on SeatGeek. And I'm going to take Lori and the kids. Want to go to a Nets game when I get back to New York, because my kids love the league. Daddy talks about the NBA with that mean man on the podcast, they always say. And so I'm going to use SeatGeek to get some tickets to a Nets game. Best of all, though, our listeners, that's you, and thank you for being here, get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you do it. $20 off. Download the SeatGeek app. It's free. And enter the promo code I today. That's E-Y-E. Again, promo code E-Y-E for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Without further ado, the nervous, the confident, the diva, the producer, the beard, the man who went into the lion's den and had a really, I think, interesting interview with Nets guard, playing really well, D'Angelo Russell. Take a listen.
All right, producer Joey here at Macy's Herald Square in New York City for TSO Fashion Event, and I am joined now by Brooklyn Nets guard and former number 2 overall pick in the NBA draft, D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. I mean, let's just get right to it. First things first, how's the knee feeling?
Good, good. I'm just glad it wasn't worse than what it was. So
yeah, is it sort of a day-to-day thing? Probably be back pretty soon, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So obviously you didn't play last night, but a big win for you guys. Big win over the Cavs. Sitting at 3-2, highest scoring team in the league right now. What do you attribute this early season success? I mean, you know, people probably didn't think Nets early on would click this early. What do you think? Do you attribute to that?
It's still early. You know, league can go numerous amount of ways. Hopefully we can keep the buzz going and sticking together while we do that. And I don't know, we're going to need the support while we're doing that too. So.
And then, I mean, obviously, first game, Jeremy Lin's injury. How did you react to it? How did the team react to it? And where are you guys at now? And have you talked to him? How's he feeling with it? Is his head, you know, I mean, obviously it was tragic to see, but how do you guys feel now as a team getting past that?
I mean, obviously you don't expect things like that to happen, but I mean, with sports, that's what comes with it. I actually talked to him today. I saw him at the practice facility, and I mean, he's always been a great guy. You know, since I came onto the team, he's been a positive guy. So, like you said, you don't look for those things to happen, but it does. And you gotta learn to live with it. But things could always be worse, also. So, luckily, it wasn't in this case, and we're definitely looking forward to him getting back out there.
All right. So, last season, you averaged around 15 a game. You shot about 35% from three this year early, but averaging 23 a game, shooting about 39% from three. What do you attribute the jump in the numbers early on to? Is it, do you feel like you have more freedom in Brooklyn? Is it something that you worked on more in the offseason, or is it just like, this is your team now, you get more opportunities?
Just opportunity. You know, I feel like it's a lot of guys out there that are looking for opportunity to take advantage of. And with the amount of talent that's around the league, when you get that small window of opportunity, you have no choice but to take advantage of it. So I couldn't ask for a better position. You know, new faces around the team, the organization, new coaches, everything's new to me, and it's new to the city also. So I feel like I'm not the only one that has that has something to, you know, kind of build. You know, everybody's looking for that, you know. So it's been amazing for me since day one.
So obviously gone from LA, sort of a rebuilding situation there to what people would call a rebuilding situation in Brooklyn. Obviously you guys are off to a strong start, but I know you didn't get to play under the Magic Johnson regime there, so you don't know how it's running now, but are there any major differences in the way that they rebuilt there to what you're seeing here? Like, do you see more of a positive direction here than what you were experiencing when you were in LA?
Like you said, I wasn't there, so I don't really know what they're doing over there. So
when you were there, like how you experienced your first couple years of a rebuilding process, do you feel like there's more of a direction here that you see this team going in a more positive direction than what you had going on there?
I wouldn't say that. I feel like there's a lot of teams in the league that are where they want to be, and they're contenders for playoff spots and Eastern Western Conference champions, stuff like that. And then there's that group of teams that are rebuilding and really trying to be in that position. And I think we're just one of those teams. I think everybody knows, they know what it takes. They come from what it takes. So it's just about who gets there first, you know, and there's a good group of teams that are on that same track. So
yeah, absolutely. So when you left, moving from LA to here, for better or worse, there was perceptions from media, from folks talking about the player, the teammate. Do you come to this season sort of like a chip on your shoulder, something to prove to the league after being traded from LA to Brooklyn?
It's obviously always with that chip on my shoulder. I feel like since the draft, I had that chip on my shoulder. Obviously, that chip went from, I don't know, a Doritos chip to whatever's bigger than that. So I don't know. I always felt like that, but I don't really pay attention to it either. You know, you know what you're capable of, and it's up to you to go out there and prove it every day.
Like we talked about, you were drafted second overall by the Lakers, being the point guard of the future. You were traded here. Now you're the point guard of the future here. They drafted their point guard of the future, Lonzo Ball. You guys have the Lakers coming up next week. What's that matchup going to be like the first time you play them, the first time you go up against Lonzo? Again, something to prove, or is it just another game on the schedule?
It's, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's something to prove. Definitely, you know, want to go out there and get a win. Make that long flight home easy. You know, you don't want to go all the way out there and lose. But I think it's going to be a Brooklyn Lakers matchup. You know, people are going to make it whatever it is, but just want to go out there and get a win.
All right, so speaking of the Brooklyn Lakers matchup, let's look at it from a big picture standpoint. You know, you've only been here for a little bit. You were there in LA for 2 years. Tell me, better basketball city in your opinion? Brooklyn, New York City, LA. Better basketball city for you?
Is that a question?
Yeah. Which city do you think is a better basketball city? Overall, like just the atmosphere, the game.
I feel like there's a lot of success from both sides. You know, you got the old Knicks. Diehard Knicks fans still walking around New York preaching those days, and then you got 80s Lakers that the guys still preaching those days. So I think it's both sides come from, you know, great backgrounds and want to get back to that. Like I said, you come from and you see those teams where they used to be. You just want to get back to those days. And I think me being in Brooklyn, we want to get back to those days also, you know, being the team of New York and representing New York well.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you said in the offseason, you said, I want to rebuild it, make it a place where people come in and say, we got the crowd against us. It's New York. You know, it's been predominantly in New York City, but it seems like those fans are up there for you guys to get. I think the Nets end up with a better record this year as a better team than the Knicks. They're struggling a little bit. Which team you end up thinking finishes at the year stronger and why?
I mean, the fans, they want somebody to cheer for, you know, and you said it, the Knicks are they're struggling right now. And we're just playing a little better, but it's early. You know, it's too early to tell. But I feel like whoever does it first, whoever creates the most buzz and gets the most wins and beats who first, like all that, I feel like the bandwagons will start jumping sides, you know, and why not cheer for the Nets? You know, we've been underdog for a while, I would say.
So you think the Nets stay on this roll a little bit, the Knicks struggle, you could take this city and make it into a Net city?
It's up for grabs, I feel like. Yeah. It's up for grabs.
Again, bigger picture, what about in the East? What type of team do you guys like I said early on, not a lot of people thinking the Nets were a type of a playoff type of contender in the East this year. You see the Nets as a team that if you keep on this right path, this is a playoff type team this year?
It's too early to tell. Like I said, we definitely have the tools, but we're young. And I think we're just coming out every day with that mentality of playing hard and competing and letting the rest handle itself. And whatever the results are, we live with it. But we knew we went out there and we played hard and we competed every night.
All right, just a few more questions for you. I know we got this event coming up, TSO here sponsoring. So you now.
Yeah, keep trying.
First, you started out in L.A. Now you're in New York, two of the most fashionable cities, you know, in the world. You're one of the most fashionable players in the league, obviously. What is it that, where did you get your fashion sense from? And what is it about that TSO that sort of fits your fashion sense? And what are you doing here with them?
I've never really been a fashionable guy. I would say the older I got, I started getting into it. I can remember the days where I didn't really care. I was wearing the same stuff. Didn't really care what I wore. I would go outside and play in the clothes I was going to wear tomorrow. Didn't really care. But as I got older, it started becoming a more serious thing for me. And TSO's the official watch of the NBA, you know, so I'm also wanted to, I don't know, I had an event. So I actually have the Chrono XL watch on right now. My choice of watch, you know, and I feel like this is more my style, is clean cut, you know, and I like black. That's one of my favorite colors, and that's the face on the watch. So I'm enjoying it.
All right. Two more questions for you. Get you out of here. Personal goals for this season. You know, we talked about the leap in scoring last year. Giannis Antetokounmpo, most improved player in the league. He went from 17 points a game to 23 points a game. Is that sort of an attainable goal, all-star? Is there any type of personal goals for yourself that you set for this season?
I mean, obviously you have individual goals. You want to be all-star. You want to win. You want to do that. But for me, it's staying healthy. You know, I feel like it's all those things, they can happen, but you got to be healthy to make it happen. So that's really my main goal this year.
Last one for you. Played high school ball with Ben Simmons. This will be the first time this year that you'll get to go up against him. He's playing point for Philly. What's it going to be like playing against him? And did you expect him to be a point guard at this level? Did you see that? And how do you think you guys match up with each other when you match up finally this year for the first time in the NBA?
Man, he's a rare talent. I always knew he could pass the ball. He's always been a freak of nature, size and ability, athleticism and all that. So just to see him come this far since high school and still be doing the same thing and adding to what he was doing in high school has been amazing. I think he's got a chance to really be special.
Right. Right. D'Angelo, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
Wow. Producer Joey. Sorry. Here's my favorite part about this. How honest can I be here? Reed.
I mean, like, honesty is best medicine.
Is life?
Yeah, honesty is
the best medicine.
That's terrible. Yeah, be honest, man. Joey loves honesty more than anything.
Producer is that a question?
What was that?
Is that a question?
Here's the answer. Wait until no one's talking to do the drops. Reed, how come you're not swearing on the podcast?
I swear, bro. I got kids. Fuck you, Ryder.
I see a small part of Joey dies every time. He like has to go over and write the little timestamp, and you can just be him and be like, these
come with the honesty, writer. We don't need a prologue to it. Come on.
I actually like Joey was so nervous going into this thing. Joey, you were like you want to help with the questions. Like, I'm not the producer. You produce yourself. You did a really good job, is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I don't want to. You did.
No, I'm just, I'm shocked.
You're super nervous about it, though. It's hard to interview people. Like, the first time that I interviewed LeBron James, did I ever tell you this story, Reed? Like, when I, like, for a sit down on camera, right? He sits down and they're micing, you know, there's that period where they're micing you up and there's a bunch of people watching. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, hey, what's going on? Good to see you again. And I don't know what I was thinking. This is like 4 years ago. I'm like, so, well, because of the magic of editing, you can't tell, but Reed and his wonderful internet connection is back. Hey, Reed.
Lies. Lies. That was perfect. I don't know what you guys are talking about. This was 3 seconds later, bro.
It's like 7 minutes ago.
Tell me about LeBron.
I turn to LeBron.
Yeah.
And I go, you ever done one of these before? I haven't. he like looks at me and he kind of smiles. He's like, yeah, bro, I've done a few of these before. I go, yeah, that makes sense. I go, I'm a little nervous. He actually laughed. But it's like, I get it. You're like looking back.
There's a little like puddle of urine between your legs.
Betrayal.
You're okay, man. And then you lit into him.
The first TV interview I ever did, ever on camera, was with LeBron James.
first sit down I did for FS1, I swear to God, Joey, this is true. I'm sitting there waiting for Rick Pitino to come out, do like a 45-minute sit down. And I'm all dressed up in my suit. I'm all proud of myself. I go into the bathroom and I had to throw up.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You threw up from nerves?
I've thrown up twice in journalism from nerves. One was that time. And one was the first big story I did when I became a sports writer was a like 6,000 word profile on Ryan Sandberg.
I remember.
And
that.
I went to meet Ryan Sandberg and his wife for breakfast for the first time. I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm a puker, bro.
Joey didn't throw up.
But did you know this?
But his voice sounded like Barsh. So it's. No, it happens. And. It was interesting. Like, so Joey, one of the best things that you just experienced about doing these interviews is you get a sense for people on camera, off camera. And I thought what you said about him off camera, what he said to you afterwards, actually makes him more likable. And I thought because he's not like people do not. I'm still sitting in LA after the World Series on this Friday, and people don't like him here. People hate him here. What was it that he sort of told you, which I thought was interesting?
Yeah, I mean he. Like, I'm sure people caught it in the interview. You may not. You probably were like, what happened? He said, keep trying. We played the drop a few times.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah, keep trying.
So what was the other one?
Is that a question?
I still, you know what? I think I blacked out during the interview. So was it a question? I don't even know.
So you're just mumbling him.
Yeah. But no, he, so afterwards he was like, I thought you were trying to get me. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're asking me all those questions about LA. And, I thought you were trying to get me. He's like, hey, that's the job. Got to ask those questions. He's like, yeah, I just, I don't want to sound dumb. I don't want to say anything wrong. And I was like, we got to ask the questions. He's like,
I get it,
to learn.
And I respect it on both sides, It's interesting because the hardest thing to do for you in particular, Joey, because you talk a lot. You are a fucking over talker in person. And for journalists is to like, excuse my language. I don't normally swear here on the Flagrant 2, but you have to like ask a question and shut the f- up.
Well, I'm glad we're giving Joey notes. Notes. Yeah. I have about 18 notes that I'm going to give you here, Joey.
Why
is CBS? I have a CBS news hit right now. All right,
this is great podcasting. This is great podcasting.
I gotta take this. Can you guys hang up? We'll finish this in 5 minutes.
Oh okay. My god! All right. The $1 million duck.
Well, again, by the miracles of editing and hypocrisy on my part, we are back. I just gave you for like.
Who's the diva now, man?
I am.
That wasn't. You said 5 minutes, bro. That's like 35 minutes. Unbelievable, you diva.
The listeners don't know. That was bad. What I do CBS News. I didn't forget. They might have called a little early. That was real weird. Hey, Ree, you had 12 notes you wanted to give Joey about his
12 notes for Joey. Joey, you – the funny part about this interview when you told me about it is that you had like
a crowd, right?
Yeah, you were
performing, bro.
He came with an entourage, right? He came with an entourage.
Well, we were talking about how nervous. I was nervous going into it, but when I got there, the Tiso, like the two girls that were there setting up for Tiso, were super nice. They called, like I was
game
calm,
time player, Joey.
Like talking about it, I was calm, and there was only two people there. And then D'Angelo shows up. He's got three of his guys with him. He's also got two people there from CAA. One of them is super agent Leon Rose's son, who I know from back in the day. There's Macy's employees outside the glass watching. There's people taking pictures. What I thought I signed up for. there's a lot of eyeballs on my first interview. Then my nerves got ratcheted up a little bit.
I actually felt for it because that's hard. So let's do this, Reed. Let's next week for sure. Let's do a podcast on like behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, like NBA stuff. Like I've got a good LeBron one. I've got a really, should I tell the Chris Paul one? Cause we'll never have
the best one. I don't know. What were you planning to get Chris Paul on the podcast anyway?
Yeah. He's not gonna come on the podcast. Yeah. I think it's really interesting and instructive. I mean, I've got one about the Clippers organization. Now one of those guys works there still and one doesn't, but whatever.
I'd love to tell about Bo Jackson humiliating me, Ryan Sandberg, Marcus Smart. One of my favorite players in this business.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
Real quickly, back to sorry guys, I've got Oprah calling in. I've got to do an Oprah. do you guys buy? We did buy sell at the start. Are you bought? Because Reed, you were high on D'Angelo Russell coming out because you're high on every kid that comes out who's drafted in the top.
Love college kids, man. What did 15? I say?
No, you're not high on all of them. I was in LA for that, and I had a radio show in Los Angeles, and we talked to obviously a lot of Lakers, and I was around that team a lot. And look, man, like maybe he was a cancer and maybe it was just a really bad fit, you know, like just a toxic environment and it wasn't his fault or he can sort of, but he's an interesting figure. For the first time in a long time, he looks like a talented basketball player. Like, it was a bad fit. He had the wrong coach, you know.
Maybe the wrong city. The fact that Kobe was there at the beginning, I don't think was good for him.
That's fair.
Like what I remember him from him in college, getting to know him a little bit, was he was there was arrogance there. I don't think that's a bad thing with a basketball player. You can see it come out in the court a little bit, but almost in a good way. What I remember about him most from those days was kind of something that led me to think he was the opposite dude as he's been portrayed now. And that was when I asked him like, "Hey, who's the one player that you model yourself after?" And he had the most unique answer. He's like Manu Ginobili. I don't know many 19-year-old kids who'd say Manu as the guy that they model himself after. And he's like, because he's such a team player, he's a phenomenal passer, I'd rather be a passer than a scorer. That made me think, hey, this kid's really mature. He screwed up pretty early with that Swaggy P thing.
You think that was a mistake?
It might have been a mistake, perhaps. But like, can you imagine if you did something like that, the awkwardness in the locker room, your teammates don't trust you. It goes way beyond basketball. So I think it's great that the guy has a fresh start. And I'm not sure. I never thought he was going to be a star. But I still think he'd be a really solid NBA starter.
D'Angelo, what do you think of Reed Forgrave, who you gave him your time as a young man, his analysis of you?
Yeah, keep trying.
I will keep trying, D'Angelo. I appreciate that.
No, it's good. He did a good job. Thank you to Tiso for making that connection happen. Matt, the podcast is pretty new, but we've had Schlenk, we've had LeVar Ball, we've had now D'Angelo Russell, we've had Malik Monk. Justice Winslow. Wait, Justice Winslow? But did I interview him too?
Winslow, yeah, you were there.
Forgot about that. Yeah,
he's great. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, that's right. He was really good. By the way, Sports Nation, I'm a big fan because Michelle Beadle follows me on Twitter.
She's awesome.
She's phenomenal. If you guys are going to credit us, if you guys are going to read from the podcast, if you're going to cite it, it's not. Did you see I tweeted this yesterday? It's not.
I retweeted it.
I hate people who are like, "See, I tweeted this, but I just did it." It's not a CBS Sports podcast. That's not what it's called. It's got a name. It's called The Flagrant 2 with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave at CBS Sports. I know it's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words.
But you are Sports Nation. It's the whole nation. You're big plates. There's room to say. Anyway, thanks Sports Nation it's been a great amount of booking, and I just want to give some credit where that is due, and that is to me and you, Reed. We've done a good job.
Yeah, Joey, you got to step it up a little bit, bro.
Guys, great. Step it up great job, bit. Guys.
Joey, calm down.
Really good stuff.
Hashtag
this guy like literally sent me notes today, like, how much, you know, can I get, I need some money for suits because now I'm a star. Ridiculous. Don't move your microphone away from your Chuck.
I saw Jabari Parker last night at the Bucks game wearing the most amazing bright green suit that I've ever seen. Bright green. It was like,
well, that makes sense, amazing, right? Given the fact that, oh, what do you think of their floor, by the way?
Oh, I thought it was so cool. I thought it was cool, absolutely too. Incredible. Yeah, I thought it was. It was awesome. It was. The environment was kind of dead in there because they didn't have the sort of the same speaker system as the regular arena. So there's a lot of quiet and it was a little bizarre.
Were you floored by it?
Oh no, I was really hoping this wouldn't be a puntastic podcast. But
sorry, the buck stops here.
Oh no, I got nothing. Let's end this thing. Let's end it now.
All right, podcast is over. Jay, Joey?
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Sure. Go for it.
Too many words. Stop talking. Still be such a diva. Joey Levin, great work. Great job on the D'Angelo Russell interview. You did a really good job. I'm Bill Ryder. My partner in crime is Reed Forgrave. He lives in a top five city in America. And we are on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and say kind and warm things. We apologize for all the language. We'll try to tamp that down. Have a great, great weekend.
The $1 million duck!